This is Audrey Lawrence interviewing Dora Brown Tidmore in Pendleton, who lives at 405 West Queen Street. See, Dora, where were you born?
I was born in Anniston County.
And how about your parents? Where were they born?
They were born in Anniston County.
And your grandparents, do you remember about them?
Well, I remember them some. The grandfather was a very fine person, and his wife, and they had quite a bit of land at that time.
Very good.
And it was in the Oak Grove section. Oak Grove section.
Right.
And he had the.
Adora, you were saying your grandfather owned a lot of land?
Yes, I did.
And he was a farmer then?
He was. My grandfather and mother were the parents of 21 children.
21 children?
Yes, the parents of 21 children.
It's amazing. That is amazing.
So they were known throughout the county at that time. Mm-hmm.
Then your parents, how were they? Were they the first, the last, or in the middle of the 21, or?
Well, my mother's background was three sets. We call them sets of children.
Mm-hmm.
When she married this man, Bibbs, his name was Bibbs, she had children and he had children. And the last, my mother was brought up by the last set of children.
I see. Do you know where the older members of your family were buried? Were they buried around this area?
Yes, this is very interesting. We, at that time, the black people of Pendleton owned the old banyo. And we're still wondering today just what happened, that we feel like it was taken away from us. And now we have no place to go to see our graves,
right.
Located out on the highway here,
out
to the mountain, spring out that direction. And I understand that Clemson bought it, and we're still wondering how did they get it. I mean, at that time, they had plenty of land. I don't know why they took that land from the black people. So that's why we have the ground now at from the Methodist people out at Webb's funeral grounds.
Right. Well, I wonder if you could find out, about that from somebody who's interested, I bet.
Well, I understand some of them are interested. They want to know what happened during that time. So, yeah, the grounds to feel that we feel like that little spot should have been cleaned up for our foreparents.
Right. I think Dr. Schaefer from the university is very interested in the history and things like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody would talk to him, and he would probably know who to talk to, or
maybe he'd be interested in going into it. Well, I don't know all the details. As you said, most of the older people have passed and gone.
Right.
And we're just picking up what we know.
Right. That's the reason we're doing this program, you see, so we can find out some of these things before it's too late and everyone's
right.
passed away.
Right.
Did your grandparents, I guess they had cotton on the farm and all kind of different...
They had everything that was available at that time. Mm-hmm. Chickens, cows, hogs. I never worked on the farm at all in my life, but they did have these things, and I used to visit them.
Right.
As a child.
So what did your parents do for a living when they weren't farmers, your parents?
No, at the time that I was growing up, women didn't work so much.
Mm-hmm.
And my father took care of the family, and my mother took time to raise me.
That was great.
Yes, and I never worked on the farm.
You probably had to work in the house, so I bet, didn't you?
I worked after I grew up, after I went to college, and grew up around Pendleton. I went away, New York, as everybody was going to make a few pennies.
Right.
So I left and been working ever since. I worked with the Silver Spring Daycare. I've had that for 12 years.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, at the old home where I work. And I'm in the
That's important
church
job.
Work. I'm a field worker for the state. Morris College we work with. We have some fundraising programs and things of that sort. I worked with that, and I was given this
presidential citation. Did more recognition, appreciation, exemplary service as community worker, church worker, entrepreneur, field worker for the Women's Convention, and supporter of Morrison College. We appreciate you. Isn't that lovely? But you're very proud of that.
I am.
That's beautiful.
My mother was a great church worker in Bethel United Methodist Church. And she's just wonderful. My father built most of these houses here in this area.
Well?
Years ago. Mm-hmm. A few of them are torn down now. But all around, various houses. John Brown, his name was. Built. He was a jack, what they say, jack of all trades.
Right.
He could do people's plumbing, and he could do painting, he could build a house.
How about that?
And it was just wonderful. Mm-hmm. We're proud of.
That you are. How many brothers and sisters did you have?
No brothers and sisters.
You're lonely?
I'm alone.
How about that?
But people have been more than that to me.
Sounds like you've had a wonderful life.
Well, you? I've enjoyed my life. Lived away from home quite a while, and I came back to stay with my parents because they were ill, not knowing that my mother was more in a worse condition than my father, and father died first.
Well, you never know, do you?
I worked in the public schools here. Mm-hmm. As teacher's aide, various places like that.
I guess a lot of people, when they graduated from the school here, went to New York and different places to get work. And
yes, we had to. There was nothing available.
Right.
During that time.
And a lot of you have come back.
Well, I assume so because the parents, so many people have retired.
Right.
Yeah, they are at that age now. It makes a difference.
How about your early childhood, your schooling? Where did you go to school when you were young?
I attended school at, we call it the Anderson County Training School here in the neighborhood. That was my high school work. And after that, I went to Sterling High in Greenville. That time it was available. I went to Union High in Belton, South Carolina. It took all this to finish up high school.
Then were you a boarding student then? In high school, you were a boarding student.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I left there and went to Sumter, to Morris College. And I took courses there. And then in the meantime, we've had courses we had to take from Due West classes there and Clemson College and a few others. We had to take these courses. Mm-hmm. And then with the daycare, I had to continues my education.
Well,
so I had to go all over the workshops and all around to various places they were having some training classes. And I've enjoyed that very much.
I always enjoy going to college.
Yes, very.
It's work though, isn't it, too? It's a lot of work to go to school.
There's a lot of work. I had staff. Mm-hmm. I had people working as on the staff with me.
Oh, I see.
So, it worked out fine.
How about when you're a young person, your church activities?
Well,
they have a young group.
I worked with the church, as I said before. These things, I just come from a convention day before yesterday. I mean, yeah, on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Finishing up, that's a religious education
right.
work. And I work in the church as counselor of matrons. In fact, I was counselor of the matrons all over the state of South Carolina.
Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. I was vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Not vice.
Right.
Not president, but vice president. And I worked with them. I worked with them about 11 years. And then after that, that's when they put me in the field to go around to the different churches all over this area as a field worker. So,
you've traveled a lot then, haven't you?
Well, in not distances.
Right.
I wouldn't put it. There's a few places I've been. We have these national things, and sometimes one took place in Dallas, in Texas.
Right.
And the other one that I attended took place in, they take place in any large cities, let's put it that way. So the travel was my pastor, and sometimes it was one or two others.
Right. Oh, let's get back to your early childhood. You went to school. Was it a one-room building, or did you have to walk to school?
It was the same building that you see out there, but it's been renovated.
I see.
Different places. They moved it and changed things around. Mm-hmm. You notice out there's a little building out there we have on there. It's a very central thing. And so I'm sure somebody's going to give you that information.
Right.
Yes, this was the beginning here.
So you didn't have far to walk to school either, did you? Like some people did.
No, I've never, since I was born right here in Pelton, it made a difference traveling.
Right.
Because many people used to walk 2 and 3 miles, wherein I only had to walk a half mile.
Right.
Because I lived near the schools. Mm-hmm. So after the schools, they started building new schools, and I wasn't at home anyway. I was away from home. So that's the difference.
Right.
But the activity went on just the same.
I was wondering, when you were smaller, did you go to Anderson and Greenville and things, or just they mostly around here do your shopping and things?
Well, we did more shopping than they do now, I think. You know, we're speaking, they may be making more money now, but the people stayed in their town to buy quite a bit then. I remember Mr. Jameson uptown passed a few years ago. We used to get a fish on Friday, Saturday, and they delivered the fish. Whatever groceries you ordered, they bring it to your door and bring it in.
Right.
And and if my father got sick, the doctor came here to visit him.
Right.
See, I mean, those things that you don't get now.
Yeah. That hasn't improved.
It's improved. They call it improvement, but people are dying more, seemingly.
That's right.
But it's just one of those things. But that's the way it was then.
Did your family make your own clothes, or did you buy most of them in the store?
No, ma'am. They used to have, I remember this, they used to have the Hunter's store up there. They sold clothing, they sold meat, they sold all the other little items right there in store. So when you go in Hunter's store, you could get anything you wanted. And they had a few stores on the block up here in Pelton that carried dresses and one or two little grocery stores. They didn't make much competition like they do now.
Right.
They didn't compete with the big stores. Mm-hmm. But the restaurants and things like that, at that time it was discriminated. So we didn't attend those, not like we do now. Things just didn't bother us too much.
That's what I was wondering, how you felt about it.
No, I mean, you felt, but you didn't have, I don't know what you call it, to speak out
like the kids
today.
You sort of felt like that's
what it was. Like the kids today.
You just accepted
it. See, they never knew how you felt. And if somebody didn't tell them, that people never improved. Mm-hmm. See. So things are being told now that we never expected.
Just everyone sort of kept their place, knew what they were supposed to do, and just followed along, right? You say?
Do what they're supposed to do, big part.
In your relationship with the white people?
Always had relationship with white people. I feel at that time when I was a child, we played together. Mm-hmm. We played together.
So you didn't notice any prejudice?
No, definitely not. The we knew what they wanted at that time, and we respected it. That time. But today, it's a different day. Let's put it that way. It's a different day.
Right.
And I just go along with the right now. What I think is right. I mean, it probably was right, wrong then, but I had to accept it. Mm-hmm. See. But today, we go along with the right.
Right. I guess that was really the best thing to do, wasn't it, back then? Was it to accept the way it was?
Yes. Yeah, you had to accept it because we could talk about some desperate things that happened. You see, and things have only been desperate among these teenagers now, these people that using crack and all that. It was, they had other methods just as bad. Many people were hung and homes destroyed, even in those days. You see what I mean? So it was just a different way of going about it, but people were being killed, and I mean, it's the same, just about like it is now. Mm-hmm. But the law wasn't changed, you see. The law had to go back to the law.
Did you ever see a lynching or anything like that?
Oh, no, that was in my mother's
That was in your
time.
Mother's day.
Yes, my mother spoke about it. She didn't see it, but people would come. And the least little thing they would do, sometimes they would hang them. And her parents would tell her what happened.
What happened, right.
Thank God, the new laws.
Slavery, was anybody in your family ever a slave?
I assume my great-great-grandparents were. Mm-hmm. I assume that.
But you don't remember anybody talking about what it was like or anything?
No more than history. Grandfather, he never just, as I said before, they were afraid to talk at one time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessary, wasn't any need to talk about it. And just think, after about 50 or 60 years now, we're talking about it.
Right.
See, you never know. I mean, after we are gone,
right.
What they're going to talk about, the other things that will come up. So we had to accept it.
You just wonder if things are changing so fast, what it's going to be like 50 years from now, don't you?
Oh, yes, I think of that quite often. Mm-hmm. I think of that quite often. What is it going to be like? What's the future?
Right. I think it could go either for the better or it could go for the worst.
Yes.
It could go either direction.
Yes. It could.
So let's hope it goes for the better, right?
Hope so.
Do you remember going to camp meetings? How bad, don't you, when you were young?
Oh, yes. My parents, the church that we had in Pelton here, where the post office,
right.
Down there. Now, across the street was the Methodist United Methodist Church. In fact, they used to say Bethel and me, and now that the white and black coming together in the Methodist Church, they use United Methodist. And I think that's real nice. And so we lived in the parsonage. We had lived in two parsonages as a child growing up in Pelton. We lived at the Methodist parsonage for a while. And you know the spot I'm talking about?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Down there. Then they bought where they are now on this side. And then we lived in the Baptist parsonage.
Were you?
Mm-hmm. That's how I became a Baptist. So we lived there. And so we're familiar with that part of it.
So you're telling me your father was a minister too?
No, he wasn't. He was just as I call him, a jack of all trades,
I see.
Very good at it.
Let's see here. How about singing conventions? Were you ever to a singing convention?
Oh, we'd still do quite a bit of that. We have programs and invite these people in because we don't these conventions, well, they have all kinds of conventions, but one particular is the one sing the notes.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Mm-hmm. Sing those notes, and they have a way of singing do do may may and all that. And really, those people know what they're doing. It sounds beautiful.
I would love to come to one.
Yes,
sometime.
Yes, well, if it ever come this way. We don't have many of them down to our church, but other churches do have. It's a beautiful thing.
Where do they have them?
At their churches.
In Anderson?
Programs out in the country.
Oh, I see.
Quite a bit. But it's a beautiful thing. We sing from the hymn book at our church, and mm-hmm. most churches around here sing from the hymn book. So.
How about hot suppers? Did you ever hear of hot suppers?
Oh, yes. We don't do too much of that anymore at night.
What did it used to be like, hot suppers? What were they like?
Well, I'm not too familiar with that either. because that was in my mother's lifetime when they had, used to have suppers, because people are afraid now to stay out too late because they don't go at night like they used to. Mm-hmm. But they have plenty of dinners,
right.
Plenty of hot dinners.
So the hot suppers were strictly a social thing, right?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I assume they did. I don't know much about hot suppers.
I'd never heard of the expression before. Yeah. Until I heard this. I was wondering about people that were mulatta. No,
Yes.
Were they accepted by the other people, or what was their lives like, do you know?
Well, you have to be careful with what you say about people and what you consider, you know, black people, mulatto people. You never know what's in people's mind. What I mean by that, we had at that time a lot of interracial. Even as growing up as a child,
right.
People had mm-hmm. interracial children. And I always felt like maybe some of them felt what we call a little high above the other,
of
their complexion. Mm-hmm. It may not be true. But as I said before, you can't read other people's minds.
Right.
How they feel. But we had a lot of it. We had a lot of interracial, right? Prominent people.
You think they were accepted by everybody, right?
Oh, they were accepted, of course, yeah. They accepted it by black people. Mm-hmm. Anytime you weren't white, you black. That's the way you have to look at it. Mm-hmm. They didn't consider it no way. Mm-hmm. You may have gone away from home, and it worked different. Mm-hmm. Because I know a couple of cases where some people got jobs. We figured, we didn't know. That it was maybe from because of the color.
Right.
Because we do have some very white black people. So, and we got some very black mothers.
Right.
So you know they came from somewhere.
Do you think that was forced onto the women, or do you think...
That was what?
You think having children with white men, do you think that was forced onto the women, or do you think it was a mutual situation?
I don't believe it was a mutual situation, yeah. No. Really,
that is really sad, isn't it?
Sure.
Really sad.
Sure. It was a mutual situation.
Did you ever hear about the Indians at all? Or
just heard about them.
Heard about them.
Meeting with them.
I guess it'll be when your parents or when your grandparents were here. Probably your grandparents.
Certainly. Discuss that further.
How about celebrations, like holidays and parades and things like that?
People used to take it very seriously. When you had a celebration, it meant a lot. And see, they didn't have the activities that the children and people have now.
Mm-hmm.
So they devoted all their time to what they had. Churches, revivals, and different occasions like Easter and Thanksgiving. It meant a lot to them. Because that was their livelihood.
That was the thing, right?
Yes. And not today. They have so much to go.
Right.
More so much on TV. There was no TV. Mm-hmm. As a little child growing up.
Right. I suppose everybody had an Easter bonnet. Was that a thing to do?
Oh, they dressed. They always did dress. With the ones that I know, they always dressed well. At least they were clean.
Right.
You know, they may not have had an expensive dress like the ladies wear today. But they wore clean clothes.
That's the important thing, probably.
And they kept their houses clean.
Right.
They kept their houses clean. Yeah, yeah. You go into people's homes. It was an old shack, probably. But it was clean, because they'd scrub their floors.
Right. And they
were happy. They were happy people. We often speak about how happy people often were. And I think it's just wonderful. Wonderful. And so many of us now, we are not happy.
Right. We don't have the personal relationships
no,
today, do we?
No.
They had back
no.
there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the sad part about it. How about your birthdays when you were small? Did you celebrate them at all?
never celebrated birthdays much.
What adult did you admire more, most in when you were a child? Can you remember anybody you sort of emulated or put up on a pedestal?
They admired.
That you admired the most.
Oh, as
a child.
Oh, quite a few people, because as a child, my mother made me take part in things. And, you know, as a child, you don't, it's not like it is today. You don't know any better. You love everybody.
Right.
As long as they're nice to you, you love them. But white or black, you
right.
love them. All they have to do is touch you and say, you're a nice little girl.
Right.
And you just love them. Yeah, they were.
What was the happiest moment of your childhood? Can you remember something outstanding in your childhood life? That
well, been so many happy moments. As I said before, my happiest moment was, but it was a lot of them, I'll put it that way. My happiness in my life.
That's great.
I was married to Albert Tidmore from Alabama. He was a New York Central man for 29 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had our ups and downs, but we were happy.
Right.
Yeah. We were happy.
Did you have children?
No children.
No children.
No children.
How'd you meet your husband?
I met my husband on New York, the New York subway, not the subway, the
train.
New York Central train. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a job, and we thought it was wonderful that time. That they were sending the fellows off to the army, and we thought it was wonderful that they were calling women to work different
right.
places. And I had never worked. I wasn't used to working here. So after I got there, I got that job, and I thought it was wonderful.
That was your first job? That was your first job?
No. Well, not the first. I picked up other little work then.
Oh,
I was
I
a secretary, too, for about 10 years, I guess, something like that. With the firm, managed the whole thing at that time.
I'm sorry I changed the... what were you talking about? So you met your husband when you were working...
Working on the New York Central.
On the New York Central. What kind of work did you do there? Was it the secretarial work?
No, it's like waitress. You know, you go,
oh, I see.
You go through the cars, work like that, and they have cooks. In fact, you could fit in most anywhere.
Right.
We thought that was very interesting at that time. I liked the day the
Sounds
computer.
Like
the computer wasn't here then.
Right. The railroad seems to have given people quite a bit of work, the black people work.
Yes, yes, let me get this person up.
I was wondering, in your lifetime, do you remember any floods, tornadoes, or disasters like that?
No, I remember several, but didn't seem as if it was much damage. I mean, like they're having now.
Right.
So, this is about the worst year that I remember, being home here. So the other times were just scary. Little scary things like they blow too hard. Maybe you hear somebody limbs falling,
right.
a tree or something
mm-hmm.
like that. But we have this is the worst year, I think. Those tornadoes.
We're pretty lucky, aren't we, to have live in an area where we don't have as many disasters.
Yeah. We don't know what the next year is going to bring.
Did any of your members serve in World War I? Do you know any of the family? Did they go to war?
My father didn't. See, at that time, my father said that if you had a child or children, they wouldn't push you as like they would the boys.
Right.
At that time, I was coming through.
Right.
It's around that time, and we had my mother had me and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that made a difference.
Right. And World War II.
Big curtain.
And World War II. None of the family did.
Yeah.
Of course, you didn't have any brothers or sisters.
No, that's right.
I guess I have one big last question. If you could change something in your life, what would you change? Is there anything you'd change?
If I could change my life, well, I would like to like today's children. I'd like if I had them this age and time. They have such fine positions. I wished I could get one. Mm-hmm. I feel like I could carry it.
Right, because you have the ability. And
yes, I feel like that.
Well, since everything's opened up.
Right, and that would make me very happy because, you know, it's very tough living when you don't have the money coming like you want it.
Right.
So that would make me, if I could change my life, mm-hmm. I would be in this group that's coming along now.
Right. Very good. Thank you very much.